Well, to Scotland now, where six simple words could prove to be historic tomorrow. Should Scotland be an independent country? That's the question in the referendum. Polls show the vote tied, and both sides are hoping to convince anyone still on the fence. Former Prime Minister Gordon Brown urged Scots to vote no.
The real way to change is not to separate off Scotland from the rest of the United Kingdom, but to have a stronger Scottish Parliament with the powers that we want it to have on a timetable that is quick and will deliver swiftly to the people of Scotland.
But Nicola Sturgeon, Deputy First Minister of Scotland, told the BBC that separation is the answer.
If we want to guarantee the powers that we need to protect our public services, create jobs and opportunities, make sure we never again get Tory governments we don't vote for, then the way to do that is to vote yes.
If the vote is yes for independence, how would Scotland fare economically? Whiskey is Scotland's biggest export after oil and gas, and so strongly associated with the country that many people around the world just call it Scotch. So how might a yes vote affect the rapidly growing Scotch whiskey industry? That's the question the BBC's John Lawrenson asked.
At the site near Edinburgh Airport, where he's building a big new whiskey distillery, businessman George Stewart declaims a passage from the Declaration of Arbroath, the 14th century document many see as the founding moment of the Scottish nation. This Falkirk distillery is costing £5 million to build, some of which is being provided in the form of a grant from the Scottish Government. Mr. Stewart is hoping for a yes.
I would like to think it could be good for Scotland, gives a bit more independence, to be able to decide our own taxes, what we can do with them.
Are you worried about a backlash in England? People deciding, well, I don't want to buy their whiskey if they want to separate from us?
I have no fear about that whatsoever. If they like whiskey, they'll drink whiskey. And they're making their own whiskey, which unfortunately, because we're on tape, I daren't say what it's like.
In any case, the British whiskey drinkers, like the ones in this Edinburgh pub, are not nearly as important to the industry as they used to be. According to the latest figures, Scotch whiskey exports rose 22% last year to £3.5 billion, with exports rising 64% to Singapore, 56% to Brazil, and 45% to Taiwan. Russia is a big market, so is Japan, and the French now spend even more money on Scottish whiskey than the British spend on French wine. But, says the No Camp, the fact that whisky sales are booming around the world is one reason Scotland must remain in the UK.
Smoke, a creamy mouthfeel, roasted chestnuts, licorice and a salty sherry top note.
David Wishart, lecturer in marketing at the University of Edinburgh Business School, reads from the book he wrote, now in its third edition, about choosing whiskies by flavour. He believes a yes vote will have very negative consequences for Scotland.
I'm sure that Scotland will continue to produce Scotch whisky, but the industry itself, I think, might well move to London. We already have two of the largest producers, Diageo and Pernod Ricard, who have headquarters outside of Scotland, and others like William Grant's and Edrington Group might well decide to relocate, as indeed RBS and Lloyd's and Standard Life are contemplating relocating to London in the event of a yes vote.
The risk, says Dr. Wishart, is that they'll prefer the security of continuing to sell whisky in pounds than the uncertain currency future of an independent Scotland. The Scotch Whisky Association said recently that the consequences of independence would be damaging and difficult to manage, pointing up the increased cost and bother of having to deal with two tax and regulatory systems. Historically, Scottish whisky makers have found it hard enough dealing with one.
That's where we source the water from.
Oh, wonderful.
You can just see the top of Roneval there.
Yeah.
Next stop is America. That's right on the west coast of Lewis.
Mark Taburn has set up what is the first whisky distillery in the Outer Hebrides, the first legal one at least.
And you've got the stream just rushing down here just next to us.
Well, you can
That's
hear
a beautiful
it. Yeah, yeah.
Brook. Does it make a difference, the water?
Oh, it makes a big difference. We've got no... There's no agriculture up there, there's no housing, there's nothing.
Right.
Might be a dead deer or a dead sheep, but that'll give a wee taste to your dram, like, you know.
Out here in the wild west of Scotland, it wasn't long ago that people would make their own whisky. The word moonshine comes from here, because the people made whisky at night so the excise man wouldn't see the smoke from the stills. Here, there's a good deal of scepticism about politicians, whether they're based in London or Edinburgh. This, for instance, is Mark Taburn on whether independence would strengthen the brand identity of Scottish whisky.
I don't know if it would or if it wouldn't, like, because Scotland kind of stands up anyway. It's never been like United Kingdom. It's always been Scotland, England, Ireland, Wales. So, yes, I would like to see independence, but I don't want to see a bunch of suits trying to do this bloody William Wallace thing or whatever it is. You know, I mean, that's in the past, and that's what it should be. Well, okay.
No more Mel Gibson doing Braveheart, then. If independence comes, this whisky maker hopes that the suits, as he calls them, from both sides of the border can do some cool-headed sitting down and working out how to keep the whisky trade strong, whether they have to count it in pounds, in euros, or in Scottish groats.
The BBC's John Lawrenson in Scotland. Fascinating about moonshine there, because the Scots then brought it to Appalachia.